If anyone has a question or a comment, feel free. Brian?
If the 200 million are currently judging not only the unsaved of the earth, but also the angels, those verses that talk about the men of Nineveh rising in judgment with this generation, is that going on right now, or can you explain that?
No, that would be on the last day, the resurrection, which comes at the last day, and that also is a condemnation when that happens. So it doesn't mean we have to wait for them. You know, as God is pouring out His wrath all through this period. And then finally, the last day, the very last day, that's going to happen. There will be an end of the world. There will be a resurrection of the dead. And that will also be a judgment, a condemnation on those that were unsaved and were finally destroyed. Kerry?
Just a couple of things. What exactly is the torment as far as the being talked about in Revelation 9? Mm-hmm. What exactly is the torment?
Well, the torment is that there's no salvation. Now, that information slays those that were in the churches. And that's more torment than, say, the rest of the world who may not be saved. You know, most of them aren't. But still, you know, we have hope, and they could even have hope that maybe I am someone that Christ saved prior to ending the day of salvation. And so that eases their torment some.
But also in Revelation 9, it says that men shall seek death and not find it. So obviously, Satan with his minions, they're being judged also, as we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So Satan is never, as far as I know, has never sought salvation. There's no penalty or there's no provision for him to be saved.
Well, right. So, the judgment on him isn't a loss of salvation. The judgment on him is a blow to his pride. And that's, you know, that's where he lives. He's extremely proud, and he desired to be like God. And there for a time, hey, who placed him there? God did.
Right.
And then following that, God takes it from him, and that's where he would suffer, or he would experience God's wrath.
All right, another question is, we've talked about the fact that possibly prior to May 21, someone may have become saved and not realize it now. The Bible teaches that, you know, anyone that is saved is a new creature in Christ, all things become new. Are there any examples in the Bible that actually shows this, where someone doesn't realize at first that they're not saved or anything like that? Talk about that a lot, but I mean, I've never...
Well, what about David's child? I mean, he was saved as a baby and he never knew it.
Okay.
You know, so I'm sure there's other examples, but that's the first one that pops up.
Okay.
Let's take this one from Echo. Are the goats those who thought they were Christians?
Well, the goats are unsaved, and yes, it does. I think in particular the Bible does emphasize that they should have been doing some things in ministering the gospel. So in that sense, yeah, because when Jesus says in verse 41 of Matthew 25, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. So in all those statements, there's an implication they should have done these things, to like the sheep did do them, as God moved in His people to share the gospel with the world. And that's what all these statements are getting at. So in that sense, it seems to be focused here a little bit more on those in the churches. Okay, Louisa?
I was surprised the other day. I was doing my car wash, and a man I would say he was about 60s, you know, in his 60s. And he came up to me probably seeing the decals, you know, 106.9 FM Family Radio. And he said, "You listen to Family Radio?" I said, "Yes, how about you?" And he said, "I used to." So I started encouraging him to listen again to Family Radio, because I said, "We're being updated now where we are at this point." And he said, "There was no earthquake." And I said, you know, I said, "This is how I love English, you know, E-A-R-T-H, quakes, right? You move the H to the front, heartquakes all over the earth." And so he kind of like, you know, listened to me, and but I was surprised. Now, back to the 200 million, the 200 million, the 200,000 thousands, right? We used to think that the dead saints are included in the 200 million,
right?
Since the history.
Right.
So now it's a different...
Yeah, that's a good point, that we had thought the 200 million would be coming forth like horsemen, mm-hmm. when it was the day of the rapture and the day of the resurrection. And so those that were dead previously but saved, we thought would be included in that number. Well, obviously, the dead did not rise on May 21. So these 200 million are identified with Babylon, which identifies with the 23-year Great Tribulation, and they're loosed from Babylon. And so they completely identify with the 23-year period, which is even better news for us, because we were thinking 1 in 70, if you take into account the population of the whole earth through history, of 14 billion about, and 200 million would be 1 in 70. But actually, in looking at that language, and since the resurrection of the dead did not take place on May 21, it's 200 million identified with this present population of nearing 7 billion. So it's more like 1 in 35.
And I would like to make a comment. You know, the Friday night study, J.R. Carman, he was teaching Ecclesiastes 12. And like toward the end, he pointed out, you know, like there are so many books written, you know, like in the whole human history. But one book stood out, and it's the Bible. And so that reminded me that when I was trying to share the gospel with people, I've been telling people that, you know, this book is so different. This is unique, one of a kind, because this is dealing with human hearts. This is a book of hearts, because our hearts are not, our hearts not right since the fall. You know, so that's my comment.
All right. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you.
Doris.
Hi, Chris. The Bible speaks of the number 666. Now, when you take that 666, which is two-thirds, of those two-thirds, does that consist of one-third of the unsaved in the churches and the other third of the unsaved of the world?
I had never thought of it like that. We know it's a symbolic number, because way more... people are unsaved and are saved. The number of saved is actually, you know, 2-3% of the population, not a third. There's a third that profess they're saved, you know, about 2 billion Christians. I never thought of that, so I really can't say, you know, yes or no.
Okay, the question is from Sam. How should one be in regards to the Bible study these days? I'm not very good at doing it, and it doesn't seem like I have much energy or desire to do it, but 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So the Bible says to do that. I hope this question mm-hmm. helps others as well.
Well, yeah, you're right. Actually, God commands to read the Bible in Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So God commands us all, read. Read. And He doesn't say here how much we have to read or how often but He does say, till I come. It should be part of the lifestyle of a child of God to read the Bible. And I know there's some people can't read, and there's some people that don't like to read. And, some people have been spoiled by our age of technology and the videos and everything, and they don't have any patience for reading. Well, thank God that there's CDs you can play. You can go to family radio. You can listen to the Bible reading. You can listen to the programming. And you can have that playing 24 hours in your home, in your car, and on the computer. So we don't have to always have a book in front of us, but it would be good for us to read. I mean, it's always to our benefit. If we don't read the Bible, then who's it hurt? It could hurt your family. Could hurt the rest of your family, because you're probably not going to be what you should be. You're not going to have strength to draw on for the things that you have to do in your family as a husband, a wife, or anyone else. But really, for the most part, you're hurting yourself. That there's strength available, encouragement available, comfort available. Everything that we need is not in the refrigerator, and it's not, it's stores. It's in the Bible. This is the one needful thing. Who was it? Mary. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus here again is commending reading or listening to Him. And when we read the Bible, we're listening to Christ. It says in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, Luke 10:39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, that she's anxious. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was the solution for her anxiety? Sit down at the feet of Jesus next to your sister and listen. And that'll calm you down. And, when you finally get back up, you'll be able to do a much better job at whatever you were doing. Because you're walking around, your mind's full of anger at your sister. Something has to be up here. If it's not the Word of God, what's it going to be? Normally nothing good. So if we keep our thoughts on things above, it'll just help us in every way imaginable in this life.
As you're speaking right now is exactly what I wanted to say. As you get all of the young children that have just been saved in this last 23 years, there's so much that they don't know as they're being chastised, as I'll chastise my children, and they will know why I'm doing it. So as they stumble through the sins that they have, and they are chastised, some severe situations, how do they get comforted by that? Would be constantly reading the Bible. And prior to that, this besetting sin that you may have, go to the Bible, and as long as you're in the Word of God, right in the morning, right at lunchtime, right at walking along, as he says, it helps us with those besetting sins as he purifies us, and he will lead us to the verses that will help us with that. And with these troubled times in the young Christian that has been saved, they're really a little mixed up in the sense of how come, you know, as the Bible says, here's somebody over here with a brand new car, brand new house, you know, and he gets chastised as not. You know, and here I am over here with nothing, being chastised all day, you know. So then, you know, God may say, well, he already has his reward. So you have to find out these things only from the Word of God. And as you sin, as you see more sin in the world, as a child of God, you just basically, you know, you're shuddering. Oh, my goodness, look at that, look at that. Then you go look in the mirror and say, I was just like that. And I am still just like that. Constantly in the Word will keep you away from, you know, what the world, the ugliness of what the world has. So read that Bible as more than we've ever been in our lifetime to give us guidance. Okay. Thank you very much.
One last one on Palto.
Okay. The question is in regards to Jude verses 22 through 25 and how that ties in with the end times.
Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior. Here it was, when it's referring to compassion, that has to do with sharing the gospel with people. And God could bless the sharing of his word, and in doing so, pulling someone out of the fire, out from under his wrath. Now, at this point, this is kind of hard for us to get a hold of, but there is no one now unsaved that will become saved. It's judgment day. What do we expect? It's judgment day. This is a judgment. What was the judgment if not that? We were saying the door will shut. And God shut the door, and we're not saying anything new. We're saying what we were saying all along. The only thing different is that we're here. I can understand with some people, since we're here and we have to talk with family and friends and neighbors and strangers, and we still have to interact and communicate, well, it would be much better if there was still the possibility of salvation we could share. But no, we have to be honest and truthful with what the Bible teaches, and so there's no salvation. Just as we were saying all along, you have until May 21, and then the door shuts, and the door has shut. Now, all we're doing is looking at the consequences of this and seeing things in a different light because we're here. So some of the language, like in the presence of the holy angels, that has to be looked at again. And then we see how we fit and we do. God is said he would judge the world with his saints, and he's presently doing it. Okay, we'll stop here and have a closing word of prayer, and then we'll have lunch. Dear Father, thank you once again for the Bible, and we do pray we would learn like Mary, like Martha, that the good thing, the needful thing, is for us to sit at your feet and to listen and hearken and obey your word. And we pray that you would help us to do this today, throughout the day. And I pray that you'd be with the children that have heard from their parents that it's a holy day. It's not a day to play. It's not a day to work. It's not a day for usual activity. And may the children find, as they delight themselves in this day, and as all who delight themselves in this day have found, may the children find that the day then stops being so boring and tiresome if they're actively reading the Bible and studying and praying. They can experience the joy and the excitement of study and digging into the greatest mystery book of all. And Father, we do pray that you would help us to continue to study and learn, and we ask for your blessing upon the reading of your word. And Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.